Welcome to the Directions on Microsoft Briefing podcast. I'm Mary Jo Foley, the Editor-in-Chief here at Directions. I'm your host for this series of podcasts designed for those interested in the Microsoft Enterprise IT ecosystem. The Directions on Microsoft Briefing brings you the best insights from the best independent Microsoft watching firm in the business, Directions on Microsoft. Directions has been focused on providing Microsoft IT planning and negotiation information since 1992. Today's Directions on Microsoft Briefing is going to be the final episode in a six-part series that we've been doing on licensing. We've called this the EA Advisor Podcast. The advisor episodes cover the key phases of a Microsoft license negotiation, from project management and discovery to negotiation preparation and potential levers you can use to advantage. My guest for this episode, which is about all the top levers in EA negotiations, is Directions on Microsoft's Dean Bedwell. Dean oversees Directions' advisory business and works with organizations to optimize their Microsoft licensing agreements. He also trains organizations on Microsoft licensing strategies and tactics. Before joining Directions on Microsoft, Dean was president of Software Asset Advisors, a software licensing consultancy. And prior to that, he spent 11 years at Microsoft managing the Canadian business desk, where he was responsible for negotiating agreements with Microsoft's largest enterprise and public sector customers. Hi, Dean. Thank you again for doing the last episode of this podcast with me today.
Well, thanks, Mary Jo, for giving me the opportunity.
Okay, on this one, I want to start at the very beginning, which is a very good place to start. What are negotiation levers and why are they so important?
Well, negotiating with Microsoft is very different today than in the past number of years. Prior to online services, you could drop license coverage on products and still use the product and actually still deploy the version that you're entitled to in the future. So you could drop coverage. But now that you have a subscription, if you stop using or stop licensing the product, you actually have to stop using the product and you must go back to an older version that you potentially own from years ago that might not have the same security and compliance requirements that you require today. And if you don't have an effective negotiation strategy and understand what negotiation levers you could use, you're going to be between a rock and a hard place. Internally, you have to prepare yourself without looking at negotiation levers for a 0% discount and no contract concessions. Based on Directions on Microsoft experience dealing with customers, we've come up with a sort of set of basic negotiation levers. These are groups of things that you can help drive your negotiations. You may not have them all, but thinking of them will benefit you when dealing with Microsoft EA renewals.
Okay, great. So what are some of the needs that Microsoft has in this phase of EA negotiations, which customers need to be thinking about when they're planning their tactics?
Well, I'm going to answer that in a roundabout way and also tie into some of the negotiation levers.
Okay.
Primarily, Microsoft has a requirement for on-time renewals. They used to have different metrics to drive their account executives and their sales teams to do online. And so very important for Microsoft to do these online or to do these on time. But there are other things that they're actually more important now. Things like, are you provisioning users? Are you actually using the service? The old days of selling something and the sales account exec at Microsoft getting bonus, those days are gone. You have to be using the actual service. It has to be provisioned in your user portal for the Microsoft salesperson to get compensation. Are you stepping up in SKUs? Are you going from F3 to E3 or E3 to E5 or from Teams Room Pro to Standard? What are the SKUs are you moving up in? Makes it very important. All right, is your Azure growing? First of all, are you using it and is it growing? The whole idea at Microsoft is about growth. So if you're spending $1 million a year and you decide to spend $1 million a year again on Azure, Microsoft doesn't like that. It's $1 million this year. How come it's not $2 million the next year? Are you using any of the new products, Copilot, Power Platform, some of the newer products that Microsoft has? Actually, today's world, you say artificial intelligence, that's all you need to say. And if right. you're buying something that Microsoft has that is associated to that, that'll help them. Are you an iconic brand? If you're an iconic brand, Microsoft will work with you because they don't want you going to competitors. Versus if you're a smaller company that if you go to a competitor, might not hit the news. Mm-hmm. Do you have an executive relationship? Obviously, having an executive relationship, not just in your enterprise agreement, but in regular interaction with Microsoft is important because it could earn you more investment funds. It could earn you different pilots. And it, in an enterprise agreement, it could actually earn you some incremental discount. The last thing that really is something to consider and Microsoft considers, is there a point of inflection in the market? Obviously, when COVID was raging, there was a point of inflection. I would argue that today, there isn't a major point of inflection in the market, but you want to keep your eye open for that because when there are major points of inflection, Microsoft will provide more and more discount and concessions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what should customers know when it comes to contract timing? And how that applies to levers. Now you get me saying levers.
Yeah, and so the timing is actually one of the negotiation levers that is really important. Microsoft, you know, do they need the revenue? Do they need it first at the account exec, so your account exec level, or maybe at the region's perspective? If you're a larger enterprise agreement and you don't sign on time, there's not another enterprise agreement just waiting to be signed so they could make up the revenue. And so timing is very important because if it's at the end of the year for Microsoft and they miss it, there isn't someone that could take up the gap. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, timing the EA renewal to your fiscal year or to the Microsoft fiscal year end is absolutely important. Microsoft's fiscal year end is at the end of June. Most EA renewals, whether they're signed throughout the month, renew the next calendar month. So if you have a deal that is signed in mid-June originally, it will renew in July. Well, that's Microsoft's next fiscal. They might not want to negotiate as much for you because it's next fiscal. Mm-hmm. But if you have a deal that is renewing in June and it slips to July, that could be very impactful for Microsoft because that would be the next fiscal and they won't get compensated. So timing your enterprise agreement to Microsoft's year end is very important.
Okay. The next topic I want to ask you about is something I wonder about a lot because I hear you and your team talk about the importance of customers having what is called competitive viable alternatives or CVAs, which can be used as a potential lever. But I'm curious, are these real? I mean, does Microsoft really think you're going to jump to Amazon or Google? And how do you prove to Microsoft you're actually serious about using a CVA when you're negotiating?
That's a great question. You know, back in the day when G Suite was out competing with Microsoft, it was BPOS at the time, mm-hmm. customers would come along and say, I'm moving. And Microsoft would give a big discount to combat that threat. But they soon realized that customers didn't go, or if they did, they would come back. So the real reality here is it's not just threatening Microsoft with a competitor, it's making it a viable alternative. This is probably one of the most important levers you could have moving forward. If you don't have a competitive alternative that Microsoft looks at it as a real opportunity for you to go to, there's no reason for Microsoft to give a discount or concession. And, you know, some of the products that are on the market that we see Microsoft thinking are real from a competitive point of view, obviously for Azure, it would be Amazon and Google, anything in the security and compliance stack, Proofpoint, CrowdStrike, unified communications, obviously Zoom, Google Workspace, Salesforce, Tableau, UiPath. Really, what we would recommend is pick two or three and build a plan. And when I say build a plan that is around deployments, get a proof of concept going, get a quote for renewal, make it real so that when you talk about it to Microsoft, or if Microsoft sees documentation that you've prepared, that it is real in their mind that you could go to UiPath for workflow instead of Power Automate. And when it's real in their mind, Microsoft will provide discounts and concessions.
Okay, that's a great point for us to take a quick break so I can talk a bit more about what we do here at Directions. First and foremost, in spite of our name, we are not affiliated with Microsoft. We provide product strategy and licensing information about Microsoft Enterprise products. Among the many services we offer are our regular Microsoft licensing boot camps to help customers new to licensing get up to speed and veterans to refresh their knowledge about Microsoft licensing. We've got virtual boot camps coming up December 11th to 15th and March 11th to 15th. If you're interested in an in-person boot camp, we've got one coming up January 24th to 26th in San Diego. Whether virtual or in person, these in-depth boot camps offer attendees the most up-to-date Microsoft licensing information out there. We also provide advisory services such as EA negotiation support and Microsoft strategy assessments, where we help you one-on-one with your specific Microsoft product questions and licensing issues. Go to directionsonmicrosoft.com or email info@directionsonmicrosoft.com to learn more about all of the services that we offer. Okay, back to negotiation levers with Dean Bidwell. Let's talk now a bit more about some of the likely levers that Microsoft will try to apply during your EA negotiation. Specifically, I want to start with Azure utilization, which you just mentioned. It's important to Microsoft salespeople because that's how they get compensated. So what do customers need to know here, Dean?
This one's actually fairly simple. More Azure means more discount. Less Azure, less discount. And when I say more discount, it could be more discount on Microsoft 365. It does not have to be more discount on Azure. And Microsoft will probably, based on your volume of Azure and utilization, offer you a program, a consumption program, that incents you to use the product by providing discounts. But remember, Microsoft is not under the consent decree anymore. They are not a monopoly. They can bundle. The more Azure you buy, the more likelihood that you're going to get a discount on Microsoft 365, E3, or E5. They tie them very closely together. And what Microsoft will try to drive from an Azure perspective for utilization, to drive utilization, is obviously they'll provide you a discount based on your commitment of, you know, 1, 5, 10 million a year, whatever that commitment is, and they'll give you a discount based on utilization. They may offer you an Azure credit offer, which is equivalent of, let's say, 1 month free to help drive utilization, and obviously give you investment funds to help drive migration to the Azure service. And again, Microsoft will also tie this to some of the other products like Microsoft 365. So Azure is not just a distinct, let's think of it as a one product. There's many things they can do with that one product, and they will also tie it to other products from a discount perspective.
So I'm assuming another way that Microsoft may exert pressure is to, quote, encourage customers to step up their SKU purchases. So is that still the case with the Power Platform, things like Power Automate, Power Apps, and Power BI? Are they still key bargaining chips? And what about Dynamics 365? Is there anything new that's kind of taken place of these things, or are these still very important levers for Microsoft?
These are actually very important products for Microsoft. Products like Power BI, Teams, Dynamics are the sort of the gravy on top of the roast beef when you get it. It just makes it taste better. And for Microsoft, they know that if you buy these products, these are the gifts that just keep on giving for Microsoft. the more you use Power Automate and build reports on Dynamics, the more likelihood Dynamics licensing will proliferate through your organization and the more embedded they get into your organization. They're really part of the future for Microsoft, and the more you leverage them, it's actually better for Microsoft. And we're starting to see customers with costs for these products that are equal to the cost that they're paying for Microsoft 365 E3 as an example. So if you start leveraging these products, the growth starts to grow immensely and Microsoft gains revenue. And these are also products that show that you're a great Microsoft customer. Often Microsoft will talk about, are you a partner of ours? Are we going down the same path together? And when you're buying E5 and you're buying Dynamics 365 and you're leveraging Power BI Premium and you're using Teams Pro and you're using Power Automate, all those things indicate that you're a great Microsoft customer. And as a great Microsoft customer, they're more apt to give you discounts across the bundles or across the different products that they've got.
Loyalty matters, right?
Yes.
Okay, now up till now, we've been talking primarily about the proactive steps customers can take to anticipate and prepare for the levers in the negotiation process. But what about the pitfalls when it comes to these things?
So we've identified a number of different levers, you know, iconic brand, does the account rep need the revenue? Is there an executive relationship? Are you stepping up in SKU? The whole idea here is for you to look at these and for you to grade yourself on them so that you can say, well, what's the important ones? Mm-hmm. Don't do them all. If you do them all, it turns into something that's overwhelming for Microsoft. Rate yourself, pick the top three or four. We would recommend that the top ones are your deployments. Are you leveraging the products? So if you do an Azure commit of $10 million a year, but you're only using five, you want to be driving deployments. You want to be driving deployments in the E5 security and compliance. You also, the next lever would be, you know, moving, as I said, to E5. If you're not moving to E5, not a good thing for Microsoft. Also your Azure utilization. And then the final lever that becomes probably one of the most important one is, do you have a competitive, viable alternative? If you don't have an alternative, as I stated earlier, 0% discount and no concessions would probably be the norm. And if that's the case, the negotiation goes fairly quickly because you just say, here's the products and take the standard pricing. Rate the top three or four, pick the ones, build a strategy around those in order to negotiate with Microsoft.
Okay. To sum things up from today, how can organizations make sure they really understand how levers can and should work?
Sure. The levers really should drive your negotiation strategy. This is not just about asking for discount. Everyone knows how to ask for a discount.
Right.
But if you don't have a competitive alternative or you're using less Azure, you'll probably get less discount. And so you need to look at these items in the negotiation levers to help define how you're going to ask for a discount. If you don't have a executive sponsor, very difficult to escalate. And so maybe an action would be to develop an executive relationship so that you can escalate to drive some of the final negotiation. Really, the levers are there so that you could define your negotiation strategy. You know, as an example, if you're an iconic brand, if you're Home Depot, Pepsi, you know, someone that everyone would know around the world who you are, Microsoft's not going to let you go to a competitor.
Right.
And so using that in your negotiation strategy with a competitive alternative might be very important, because Microsoft will give discount because you are an iconic brand. But all of the levers have some level of impact on what types of discounts and concessions you'll drive. You just need to pick the top two or three and build a plan around those.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Dean. It's been very interesting for me, and I'm sure our listeners, to get some of this inside knowledge on how the EA negotiation process works. Listeners, make sure you check out this whole EA Advisor series of podcasts. It's on our site, and Dean and his team share lots of tips and tricks like you heard today from their times in the trenches. To close, I want to remind everyone they can find lots more coverage of all things Microsoft related on directionsonmicrosoft.com. Thanks for listening. If you have questions, comments, or any topics that you would like to hear the directions analysts cover in one of these series of podcasts, please do not hesitate to contact me via Twitter at Mary Jo Foley. And speaking of Twitter, or X, we at Directions have converged our channels into a single new platform. So give us a follow at Directions MSFT for all the latest Microsoft Enterprise product and licensing information. Thank you very much. Thank you.